Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast breakfast show ahead of the Scotland-Japan game, the final game in the Bezos Cup, the autumn series. Gregor Townsend has named his 23-man squad with quite a few changes from the South Africa game. So it is David, Matt and Alan breaking bread. A little croissant and a Costa for you, Alan.
Yeah, hitting up some of the old festive range, little Terry's chocolate orange like latte. Just a standard extra large cappuccino for the big man.
Starting your day with basically like 1,000 calories of dessert. How's your breakfast looking, Matt?
Just pretty austere black coffee. Is the Terry's chocolate orange an actual drink?
There's a Terry's chocolate orange hot chocolate with light dairy swirl. I saw look real strong.
That does actually sound really delicious. Maybe not for breakfast, but it does sound really good.
Yeah, just like a nice like 2:30, 3 p.m. hit.
Matt's just having black coffee, like dry granola, like pouring over like the share prices at the back of the FT. Such an austere start to a Friday morning.
Yeah, I'm just buying crypto with my Costa hot chocolate. That's the dream.
We are not the same. You're like the modern man. But moving swiftly on from that, and we will get on to talking about rugby in a second, but just a quick word about our partnership with Match Pint, which we've been working with through the whole autumn series. Get yourself onto the App Store, download the Match Pint app and play the Guinness Pint Predictor game. You can predict the scores of all of the Autumn Nations Cup, including Scotland versus Japan tomorrow, and compete against us and other listeners to the pod in our league. That's the Thistle. So for 350 people in there, it's the largest league in Scotland. So get yourself in there and test your knowledge. That's on the Match Pint app. And if you get the scores right, you win free pints of Guinness. So I don't know what there isn't to like about that. So get yourself the Match Pint app and join us in our league. That's the League Thistle. Let's have a quick look back to kick things off. Obviously, South Africa fairly comfortably in the end beating Scotland last week at Murrayfield. Matt, you were there. Did you have a good day?
Yeah, it was a great day. It was obviously the first time I've been back at Murrayfield, sold out BT Murrayfield, since COVID. And it was a beautiful day. People were in like t-shirt and shorts, some people. The weather was so good.
It felt really strange to be at Murrayfield. I think it was like early in the day. It was such like bright sunshine when usually you're used to like sort of dark, overcast, like freezing cold temperatures. It was really strange.
No one talks about the positive sides of climate change. And maybe nice day out at Murrayfield is, you know, it's the silver lining.
We're probably only like 10 years away from like really good quality, like Scottish wine. When we start getting really hot in the borders, it's going to be so good.
But yeah, no, it was a great day out from that perspective. I was sat behind some really good natured South Africa fans as well, which was a nice little bit to the day. It's just a shame about the actual rugby, which, yeah, I think that Scotland, although they were in the game for quite a while, you know, the points they did score were, well, the tries they scored were sort of, I suppose, kind of one-off plays. The amount of mistakes we made was disappointing. Our discipline was really poor. And we just weren't able to, you know, it seemed as if the narrative in the week was, we're not going to play the same way the Lions played against South Africa. But from that 80 minutes, they couldn't get together whatever that was meant to be, which was pretty disappointing, really.
And how much do you think, Alan, that those sort of mistakes and the discipline and everything that we know about was because of, I guess, Scotland's poor performance, and how much of it was imposed by just South Africa being South Africa?
Yeah, a mix of the two, I think. I think it ultimately, you look at sort of phases of the game in that sort of like first 20 minutes, ultimately we had zero ball and probably had one of our best sort of defensive performances of the last sort of 5 years, I think, especially for a pack that's ultimately probably had more second string people in it than first string. They did a pretty unbelievable job to sort of keep that SAFA pack out. But then I think especially in the sort of second half, as South Africa sort of asserted themselves at the breakdown, and then kind of off the back of that, Finn, and once you had Finn and George Horn, Blair King and Hogg on, they just started to kind of chase the game a little bit. And I think one of the things we said last week is the one thing they just need to try and do is not get too far behind, because I think once you start chasing the game against Africa, ultimately they just have the ability to just sort of grind you down and kind of bleed out those penalties, which is ultimately inevitably what happened.
And we probably don't need to go over it in too much detail, but obviously there were some fairly high profile and controversial selection choices. Matt, do you think Townsend got some things wrong getting prepped for South Africa?
It's hard to say, because as I said, it was so difficult to see what Scotland were trying to do. So, you know, Haining had like a couple of carries, but in reality, I thought in defence he was fine, but didn't do much else. Matt Scott, apart from for the second Hogg try, wasn't really used in defence in attack, just because they didn't get any ball. And Rufus McLean had a couple of scraps to feed off. I think that, you know, in those kind of games where you don't have a lot of ball, it's easy to switch off, and maybe Scott did for that, the second Mapimpi try. And, you know, I couldn't help thinking that Watson, if he was starting, would have made a far bigger impact than Haney.
It feels like Tune made three big calls. And I know we've had a bit of a debate this week about whether he was actively choosing to sort of rest players, or whether he actually saw that as his sort of number one starting 15. And I'm still not 100% sure, but it does feel, with the sort of Haining over Watson, Scott over Johnson, and no one ever confirmed that Johnson was injured. So I think if we assume that he wasn't, and then you've got McLean over Darcy, Blair and Steyn. And it feels like all three of those, you know, obviously it's hard. You don't know what the other option would have ended up being like, but I don't think any of those three quite managed to do the job that Tooney wanted them to do. And I think even specifically for Scott and McLean, I think both, whilst obviously both performing incredibly well at club level, were both clearly caught out for those tries and were just sort of literally just half a second kind of off the pace, or kind of held off a little bit too long. And ultimately you've ended up with Mapimpi scoring two tries. And I guess that's just kind of like what South Africa do, right?
That is what South Africa do. Well, it won't be too long. We get to play them again at the World Cup, obviously joined with Ireland in that group as well. I mean, I think it was last week when we were doing the match point predictions, Alan, you said there was two teams that Scotland can't handle, and it's Ireland and South Africa. And we are literally going to have to handle them if we're going to make out the group at the World Cup.
You said three. I would still put the All Blacks in there. I don't think Scotland can quite handle New Zealand yet.
They can handle them.
But yeah, no, I just, you know, I think, you know, that South Africa game, I think ultimately if you'd sort of transported Ireland in instead, you know, that game probably wouldn't be far off sort of a typical Scotland v Ireland match, right? Ireland just seemed to have the ability to, especially sort of the second half, kind of squeeze Scotland sort of out of the game. So
yeah, you know, the prospect of a visit to the Aviva in February for the Six Nations is not one that I think they'll be relishing, but it's always a good fixture. But why don't we focus on the big game that's coming up tomorrow? What has become quite a sort of like famous fixture for Scotland over the last few years, Scotland versus Japan at BT Murrayfield on Saturday. There's been a number of changes made in Gregor Townsend's starting 15 and on the bench. So I'll just take you through those now. Jamie Batty comes in, joined by George Turner and Xander Ferguson in the front row. Second row, Scott Cummings is back from injury, joining Grant Gilchrist in that second row. Back row, Jamie Ritchie and Hamish Watson, and then Josh Bayliss on debut, starting at number 8. Ali Price and Finn Russell retained at the halfback partnership. Sam Johnson returns at 12, partnering Chris Harris. Then back three returns to what it was for the first game, Doohan, Darcy and Stuart Hogg. A couple of interesting people on the bench, Dylan Richardson and Havan Sebastian on the bench, looking like they might make their debuts at the weekend as well. I mean, starting from that front row, obviously, Matt, the Scotland team got a little bit of a pasting by the two South African front rows last weekend. Do you think that's what's driven these changes?
Possibly. I think it's that number one shirt still trying to build a bit of depth. So I think that's why Batty's coming in and just giving him a start. I felt that Ferguson in particular had a pretty poor game against South Africa, both at the scrum and around the park, where he was giving away quite a lot of penalties. And I think maybe just trying to force things a little bit in terms of trying to impose himself too much almost against that South African physicality. But you know, I quite like that front row. It's maybe a bit smaller at the one and two than if you had a Schoonan or a Sutherland. But I think it's still pretty strong overall.
Quite dynamic. Get around the park.
Yeah, good in the loose as well, 100%.
And how do you feel about, obviously, Scott Cummings has come back from, I think it was a hand injury that he picked up, but that second row looks looks sort of back to the sort of like the high quality levels that we expect. He makes a big difference there, doesn't he?
Yeah, interesting that they've chosen to keep Gilchrist in instead of Skinner. I guess I imagine just Gilchrist being a bit of a line out leader probably just gave him sort of the edge over someone like Skinner, and I guess Skinner gives you a bit more sort of optionality off the bench. But great to see Cummings back. It would have been so good to see him against sort of South Africa, because I think I still think he's got sort of a lot of room to grow, and it would have been great to see him kind of really up against, you know, ultimately what's probably the strongest kind of grouping of second rows in the world
ever assembled.
Literally ever assembled.
I'm looking forward to some Scott Cummings sort of trademark lines off 9, just coming at absolute full tilt.
Yeah.
Feels like he carries harder than anybody in that Scotland pack.
Yeah, he just loves like an outside. He's like starting at the 12 channel and then just like coming in like so hard. Probably knocks it on like 50% of the time.
But yeah, his catch rate could be improved.
But I'm all there for it.
And then are you excited about seeing Josh Bayliss at number 8? And what do you think he can bring perhaps versus what we've seen from Matt Ferguson over the last few weeks?
Do you know what? If I'm perfectly honest, I haven't actually seen too much of Josh Bayliss. I heard a lot of good things. Clearly been performing well in what is a pretty shocking Bath team. But I think kind of what we've, some of the rumours we've heard out of camp is actually within the Scotland setup, he's considered like a pretty impressive kind of athlete. And I actually probably a little bit less ball carrying, a little bit more sort of getting around the park and just general sort of kind of abrasiveness in the ruck and in the tackle. But really keen to see what he's able to do.
Yeah, I think you're right. In terms of him not potentially being a ball player, like I could almost see him being a six or a seven, which I think is fine sometimes. And Dylan Richardson is probably, who we'll talk about, I'm sure, is probably in the same mold. I suppose it's just a little bit of a shame that we still don't seem to have like that big ball carrying number eight past Matt Ferguson. And whilst I think Ferguson still has a lot of promise, and I think showed up pretty well against South Africa, actually, like he's still not quite big enough, it seems. He wasn't getting any change out of that South African pack. I think he's a really good option across. I think he can play second row as well. So just adds like a nice bit of versatility to things as well.
Are you saying it's time for one final call for Josh Strauss from Israel? Get him over. Plays for Tel Aviv one game, get him into Murrayfield the next. Just get that ball carrying kind of power in.
Would be so good.
I'm all for it.
Well, you got him, and then where's Cornell? Is Cornell, I'm trying to remember now, Oino? He's like pro D2, isn't he?
Is he? He went to Toulon, didn't he? And then.
Was it? Yes, maybe it was Toulon. Because Cornell's still like. He's in Toulon. He's like not that old a guy.
Yeah, he's only 30. That would be great if Cornell Dupree came back.
And then obviously Zach Mercer was the great hope. Was the guy who probably could have been like a 60, 70 capper. And he's 100%. Just going to, you know, he's getting paid like half a million at Montpellier. He's not having the worst life in the world, to be fair.
Yeah, he's doing okay. looking into the back line, obviously been a few positional changes, but Alan, this is a pretty familiar Scotland back line. Is this, I guess, do you think that is Scotland's best back line?
Sorry, just to roll back a little bit. Just thinking about the potential World Rugby eligibility rules, I wonder whether that would open up Zach Mercer. I can't remember whether he does qualify through family or not, or whether it was just based on the fact he was living in Scotland. Because ultimately, if the World Rugby rules do change, I wonder if he would then, having been long enough out of the England squad, become potentially eligible for Scotland. Maybe that's.
Can you go tier one to tier one?
I don't think you can. I don't think they're ever going to define it as tier one. Versus, like, are they going to define teams as you're a tier one team and you're a tier two team, and then Fiji get a bunch of players and then become so good that they then become a tier one? I almost think it'll just become too confusing, and they'll just make a sort of blanket policy that if you've been out for 3 years, which is difficult, because as someone was saying to me the other day, that potentially means that you could end up in a situation where Billy Vudapola could play for like Wales, I think, or which would be quite funny, to be fair. But yeah, it's, and as we were saying the other day, it's, if the rules do come in, potentially a bit of a disaster for Scotland. You know, ultimately, I think people sort of like morally sort of like kind of understand the argument of wanting to have these, especially sort of these ex-Polynesian players who've had a few caps in New Zealand playing for sort of Tonga, Samoa, Fiji. But if you look at the sort of players that could then potentially line up for Tonga against, will probably be Scotland in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
You could end up with a centre partnership of Lumapi, Fekitoa, and then like a back three of Piatau with like Vianu, which
just keep it the same. What I mean,
do you think Dodson's just like needs to be a secret vote just so he can be like, no,
Dodson's hired a lobbying firm to go to Dublin for World Rugby.
Yeah, I know. It's difficult. It'd be interesting.
I think this is Alan Gilpin's worked out that Scotland are going to be like detrimented by this, and he's pushing it through.
4D chess.
The Hagibis retribution continues. Alan Gilpin's sort of chaos theory against the boardroom of Murrayfield continues on.
But now, going back to your original question.
Yes, the back line. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think we sort of discussed a little bit. This feels, I would say, like the strongest Scotland back line. I think ultimately you could probably make an argument for Darcy versus Carl Steyn versus Blair Kinghorn, essentially versus Rufus McLean, depending on sort of what game plan you want to play. But it feels like that clearly that sort of 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 and 15 are all fairly settled. And I think that's why it was so surprising to see Sam Johnson not in the team last week and then not even sort of insinuate that he was potentially injured. So look, I'm I'm happy to see us get a bit of consistency. I think it's, you know, especially last week when you look at some of the issues that backline had in the opening first half, just trying to.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
To get a bit of fluidity. It was a real struggle at points.
Yeah. It was when we had ball in hand, we looked quite poor. Apart from obviously the moments when we scored that a couple of really amazing tries, but in terms of building phase play, particularly in the backs, it just never really never got going at all.
Say you got to sort of like break up process and outcome, and ultimately that first try, whilst the outcome was absolutely fucking beast, the process was a complete shit show.
It was a joke. Finn's kick, when he kicked it, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Stop doing this.
He'd just tried the crossfield kick, hadn't he? That had gone out, I think.
That was not the right decision at that time. I appreciate, and I know some people would disagree, I appreciate that it ended up in a try, but I don't believe that the right sort of like statistical decision at that point was to kick, which was a relatively sort of like flat kick to Doohan, and ultimately Doohan was actually pretty well covered. It's just he's like an absolute beast, so he managed to sort of get his arms free from the first tackle.
It was good to see how well Doohan played,
because
against South Africa and some of the Lions, He did struggle underneath that high ball. And I just thought he was one of our best players under the high ball. And like whenever he got the ball, you could see South Africans were, you know, it was panic stations. They were like, this guy's an actual threat. I think they were almost surprised by quite how good he is. Because it kind of takes him back to, remember when Dave Denton was playing for Scotland, and at one point against South Africa, he carried, and JP Peterson like mauled him into touch, smashed him, and then like rubbed his head in the dirt. And I think like there must be an element of that for those guys who've, you know, born in South Africa. But I feel like the South Africa team were very respectful of Doohan on the day.
Is there an argument to try and keep Hoggy away from the high ball?
I think there should be.
That first one he dropped was when he'd caught it, was just, I don't know, kind of summed up what he's like under the high ball at the moment.
He was that. Is there a mitigating circumstances and he was in that patch of like really bright sunlight at that stage? Did he like just lose it?
Well, yeah. But after that, I'd say in that same bright bit of sunlight, Matt Ferguson caught a lot of high balls and Finn caught a lot of high balls.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. I think Hoggy is the weakest part of his game, probably. And you know, he scored two tries overall, looked pretty decent. But as a fullback, you've got to be that sort of bomb disposal, don't you?
Yeah, no, 100%. It's just I think every time a high ball goes up and you sort of see Hoggy and he sort of slows down and he sort of really accelerates into it, and I've just got to the point where I have almost sort of zero faith in him being able to catch anything. But to your point, his specifically for Scotland, I think more so than when he plays for Exeter, his general sort of game is still incredibly strong.
Mm. Yeah, And obviously, joint Doherty coming back in. We will expect his sort of brand of enthusiasm. Exciting to see. And they should get a little bit more ball and opportunity this weekend than they did against South Africa. Going on to the bench, obviously, a little bit of a swap there. Rambo drops the bench. George Turner returned to starting at hooker. What did you make of Rambo's performance last weekend? I thought it felt, and it's not fair to put it all on Ewan Ashman, but it felt that when the lineout started to go really downhill, that sort of coincided with Rambo going off.
Yeah, I think he played pretty well. I thought there were a few lineout malfunctions before Ashman came on, to be fair to him. But I thought that McAnally in the loose was really, really good. It's hard to tell with the lineup because it does seem like when Ashman's first throw that he overthrew, that the jumper wasn't as high as he should have been. So, you know, I wouldn't want to blame it entirely on him. But then a young guy who is making sort of his first, you know, a big appearance against South Africa, when the first lineup goes wrong, I think it's very easy for your head to go a little bit. And it did kind of seem that was the case afterwards. I still think that Turner is in pole position in that hooker shirt and seems to have sorted out his arrows. So looking forward to seeing him actually get a decent shot this weekend.
Absolutely, man. Front row replacements, Pierce Schumann, we've seen quite a lot of him. Alan, have you been impressed with Schumann's sort of ability to step up on the international stage?
Yeah, I think he's been good without sort of like completely sort of, you know, blowing it up. I think ultimately he's sort of come in showing that he is a completely sort of solid operator at international level and is clearly now someone that we can like trust to be able to perform. So, yeah, I'm all right.
And I guess, Matt, you're a bit of a Scarlett's Ultra. What can we expect from young Yavan Sebastian? He looks like a hell of an athlete, right?
Scarlett's Ultra and prop expert.
Those are your specialties.
He is a tight head, so that is good because, you know, beyond Xander Fagerson, we are maybe struggling a little bit in that area. Obviously, I thought Kebble actually did reasonably well when he came on, but he's obviously moved away from 1 to 3, and that is just a big shift. The only other thing I know about Javin Sebastian is he randomly did a season with Ayr back in the day, when I think he was on like a partnership contract with Glasgow. So, you know, he's finally come back to his roots. It's what this whole career's been
leading up to this point.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, yeah, front row, we would expect he's going to get on.
Yeah, exactly. And fair play. We need depth in that area, so makes sense to try him out, I think.
And he's been up against Gordy Reid in training. Get him like prep for the big time.
Well, bloody yeah. But Gordy Reid played for Wasps at the weekend, last weekend.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, made his debut.
Oh, nice.
They seem to have so many injuries that they've had to get in Gordy Reid and even a couple of players from London Scottish on loan. So James Tyas was playing for them.
Wow. Fair play. Great to see a good man doing well.
Yeah, fair play to Gordy. I think he was in the camp, probably just doing that sort of specialty scrum work, I imagine. Sam Skinner, we probably don't need to cover off too much. The big one, Dylan Richardson named on the bench. The South Sea Sharks is Dylan Richardson. Alan, do we know much about Dylan other than what's sort of been written about him in the press?
Yeah, to be fair, again, sort of similar to, well, I mean, even more so than sort of the Josh Bayliss, ultimately, I haven't seen much of him play. I kind of get the sense that he's a little bit in sort of the Fraser Brown potentially sort of mould, so kind of covering that sort of hooker and flanker. But for him, I guess, different to Fraser Brown, he's predominantly a back row player. But no, interested to see what he can do. And, you know, ultimately, it's a little bit sort of kind of corporate, but keen to get him sort of locked into Scotland. Because actually, ultimately, there does seem to be quite a lot of South African fans who are quite disappointed that he's heading across to Scotland.
Good. Let's start some more like hostile online conversation with South African fans about Dylan Richardson.
Happy to piss off the South African. Never really realised like how, I don't know, just sort of aggressive and parochial South African rugby fans are, but they're all sort of razzy.
They're quite fragile. It's all a bit weird.
Did you see one of their essay rugby magazine was comparing Nick Berry to Jeffrey Epstein?
Good.
No? Yeah. Like, excuse me?
How was he doing that?
I need to look into it properly. But this is from Twitter, and quite a few people were sort of railing against it. But I think they've come out hard. They released a video, and the title of it was "World Rugby Are Racists." It's like, wait, what?
I think, yeah, wow, yeah. I mean, I don't really know where to go with that. It's been quite something watching this sort of the epic flame out since the Rassie verdict was sort of handed down. But just to finish off the Scotland replacements, we've gone for a 6-2 split. So George Horn and Blair Kinghorn, the two backs on the bench. Which obviously must mean that Kinghorn is covering 10, or I suppose Hogg also providing some 10 cover there. So maybe we'll get to see some really weird combinations at the weekend.
But it is a little bit what we talked about, where potentially Kinghorn being able to cover that 10 option allows Scotland to shift to that 6-2, although ultimately Hastings can cover 15 as well. Just interesting that they've decided to deploy it in this match and not against South Africa, where it feels like
you'd want to do a 6-2, yeah. I guess Japan have probably had described as a little bit of a mixed autumn. They got absolutely horsed by Ireland. Matt, what do you think we can expect from this team?
Yeah, well, I think they've had quite a few injuries in the past few weeks, including Leach, their captain, who's come back into the team. And maybe that explains. I think he is obviously very important, and maybe that explains the Japan result and the fact that they only just beat Portugal last week. You look back to the fact that they gave the Lions a pretty good game recently, narrowly lost to Australia, I suppose. Like, they're maybe a lot better than the last few weeks has shown. I honestly don't know that much about the team, but I think Alan was saying that it's sort of half of the team that played in the 2019 World Cup against Scotland. So you can probably expect an attempt to play a pretty high tempo game, which in some ways suits Scotland. But in other ways, I'd almost rather that we picked a bigger team and tried to maybe slow the pace of the game down a little bit.
Do you think the Scotland players will be feeling like this is their chance of redemption, or do you think there's sort of just too much time passed since the World Cup?
I'm trying to think who would have played in that. I suppose
there's been quite a lot of turnover since that 19 team from our side.
Yeah, Ferguson, Cummings, Richie, Watson,
probably about close to half or just over half.
Yeah quite.
It was Johnson and Harris in the centres as well. I would have thought.
Yeah. Most of your back line.
Yeah.
All right, I take it back then.
Possibly. I don't know. I just think that Scotland are in a... I get the sense that they're in a place now where they'll be confident about beating Japan at home. And I think they should feel confident about that.
Absolutely. And are you feeling confident, Matt? Why don't you kick us off in terms of predictions for the weekend? What have you locked in on the Guinness Pint Predictor on Match Pint?
I've gone Scotland by 20.
Which, oh, punchy. Yeah.
Hey, look, this is coming from the guy who got the Scotland and England games bang on perfect last week. I agree, does feel punchy, but I think that the fact's at home, we've got our best back line out, strong pack, and the fact that Japan haven't been playing that well recently, I think we have got more than enough to beat them quite comfortably. And I think we're due a better performance from the Scotland team. I don't think we've seen the best of them this autumn. So hopefully they can pull it out of the bag.
Alan, you're a negative guy. What are you thinking about it?
Yeah, but only marginally more negative than the match. I went for 15. I think you know, clearly, obviously lost to Japan last time we played, but I still think fundamentally Scotland are significantly sort of better team than Japan. To Matt's point, we got hosed by Ireland. Appreciate it's a slightly different team, but we're sort of unable to sort of put Portugal away last week. And I think ultimately, if this Scotland team does have any sort of ambitions of probably going further than what it's done previously, then they need to be beating this Japan team at home by sort of a minimum of about 15 points. So I've gone for, 15.
Yeah, I've gone Scotland by 12, but I'm umming and ahhing now. Maybe I'll feel you've actually convinced me a little bit there, Alan, that we need to be doing more. So maybe I'll land on like 17 or something like that. Sort of hedge my bets between you guys. And obviously, if they do beat Japan, it'll be back to back drubbings for Japan after the women got a big win on Sunday. Against Japan, which is good. Rona Lloyd and Chloe Rowley again showing their absolute wheels to score some good tries in the second half. And it looked like it was quite a good atmosphere down at the damn health at the back of Murrayfield. So well done to the women at the weekend. Any other business, chaps, or should we get the day started?
Let's get the day started.
Josh McKay has landed in Glasgow.
Josh McKay has landed in Glasgow.
Oh, yeah, he has.
And the former chief exec of, is it Carlsberg UK? Is now the chief operating officer of the SRU?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jink tenants are worried.
I think there'd be a riot if Carlsberg was... I think the best thing about Murrayfield now is you can buy cans of tenants. It's not just draft, like, which I just think adds that big yellow can. Adds to the atmosphere.
Yeah.
The atmosphere.
Yeah. 100%. Also, yeah, so, I found out something interesting at the weekend from the South African fans. Doohan is a different spelling of Dwayne. So Doohan's name is Dwayne.
What?
Yeah, they told me that. They were like, you Scots can't pronounce his name. I was like, what do you mean? They said, it's an alternative spelling of.
So how do they pronounce it Dwayne?
Yeah, they call him Dwayne. Doohan's just, I mean, he's clearly not corrected anyone.
But Doohan does think that Murrayfield's called sold out BT Murrayfield. So
it is now, isn't it?
I think it is officially called that, yeah. Right, let's call that a day. Alan, get yourself another Costa. Treat yourself to that extra shot of caramel to get the day going. Everybody else, download the Matchpoint app. Follow us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. On Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And get yourself subscribed to our newsletter as well. That's on Substack, the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. And we will be with you throughout the weekend and back next week to review the autumn series. Everybody have a good day. Cheers.
See ya.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.